Well, it's good to be back tonight. Sure want to thank you for coming. I want to thank you for the love offering and your kindness. I enjoyed the singing, the choir, the special singing. You don't get that everywhere. And just an excellent job. Appreciate your team. You've taken very good care of me. Man, me and Chase, y'all seen us last night hitting town, trying to find us some fajitas. We got them, didn't we, Chase? So we did well. Boy, it's been a lot of fun. And boy, we went over to the Glen Country Club, is that right? Glen, boy, I tell you, it's good eating, brother. I appreciate you coming tonight. You got to go there. Just tell your honey you love her enough to not let her cook, and you're going to take her to a special place and then eat and play nine holes of golf. Amen? You can't beat that. All right, will you stand with me, please? Jude, verse 3 will be our text. I want to preach tonight on being a contender. Jude, verse 3, when you're there and you're ready, say amen. Yeah, I've got four of you. Amen. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. God, please, with your help tonight, may the message be clear, may it stir our hearts, and God, we're praying, we're asking for souls to be saved tonight. God, I pray for Christians, all of us, that we would be a contender for the faith. May we stand on the Word of God. And God, we'll pray that tonight would be a special night in our hearts and in this church, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much. I like verse 1. He says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Boy, what a wonderful title, a servant. Surrendering. Have you yet surrendered? Are you a servant? You know, all of us serve something. Something gets our time, our money. Something gets our gifts. But Jude, a servant, made time to serve the Lord, to minister, to touch people's lives. And then the Bible says there in verse 1, preserved. I'm glad that salvation is not up to me, amen? But it's a gift of God, and then it's kept, it's guarded, it's preserved by God Himself. Isn't that wonderful? How many times you and I live a day and we don't get it done? But I'm glad it's never been about me getting it done. He got it done for us, amen? So we are preserved. Well, that's a wonderful doctrinal word. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Kept forever. Amen. And I go to bed at night knowing I'm saved. I wake up in the morning thanking God I'm still saved. Amen. And when I don't get it done, I just, Lord, forgive me. I failed you. But thank God, God is still satisfied. The gavel has fallen in heaven. I'm justified, sanctified, set apart in Christ, preserved by God. Amen. In Jesus Christ. I am saved. Past, present, and future. I thank God for that. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, mercy unto you. And mercy is a wonderful word, but what he's describing here is that we need the mercy of God to get this done. And as God holds back what we really deserve and gives us room to grow, and even gives us room to make mistakes. You know, every kid, my grandson trying to teach him to ride a bike without training wheels was an all-day process. And he fell, and I fell, and he got mad, and I got a little upset. We put the bike away twice. Said, man, forget it. It ain't going to happen today. And finally, he said, it will happen. And I ran behind him and grunted and sweated, and then finally I let go. And he said, Papa, don't let go. I said, son, pedal, pedal, just keep pedaling. And you know what he did? He quit pedaling. And as soon as he quit pedaling, guess what the bike did? It went over. Some of you have quit pedaling. And we need contenders. I mean, it's not always easy. Hey, man, there's times the Lord will say, all right, I'm not holding on, just pedal. And you're thinking, Lord, where are you at? He said, I've got my eye right on you, pedal. And so that's what he's a mercy unto you. You can get the job done. And I know it seems to be over you, but mercy's available. And peace, that word peace is wholeness. And I'm whole in Christ, but he wants to teach you and I a wholeness. And he wants us to realize that we can trust him. We can be soul winners. We can be a healthy Christian. Amen. We can make a difference in somebody's life. And we can renovate our mind from wrong things that we've been taught in an early age. We can do all those things. He wants us to have peace, walk with confidence, be assured who you are in Christ. Hold your head up and plow deep and sow. Sow with bountifulness and watch me go to work. That's the word. You look it up. It's amazing when you see that word there, peace be in you. But that word beloved, he's telling the church there's two things we got to guard. Number one, a common salvation. If you look here in verse 7, he says Sodom and Gomorrah, he brings back the past. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. There's always been attack on how to get saved. What is salvation? And Jude's saying, I'm telling, there is a common salvation. It is straight from the Word of God, and the devil's always tried to mess it up. And there is religion out there that are teaching fallacies, error. And local church, we are stewards of this common gospel. That's why you have a Sunday school room. That's why I encourage you, don't miss that hour of discipleship every Sunday morning. The excuse that it's too early, that's baloney. You got to have a heartbeat to say, you know what, I want to grow in grace and knowledge, and I need to polish up and be the best that I can be for the glory of God. I am a steward of this common salvation. If you don't get it down, how can you teach it to somebody else? If you lose the passion, why would you ever go out of the way and sacrificially give up a Saturday or a Monday or a Tuesday to go and just share with somebody this common salvation? So he says here in verse 3, beloved, and the beloved's the church, it's us, it's you and I. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation. So I want to give you two thoughts. What is a common salvation? And then what is a contender? If you have your Bible, go to John 3:16. Now I know this is ABC stuff, but you know what? There's a lot of people that still don't get what John 3:16 is. And let's just go there. It's common. It's a common salvation. And it's a salvation that comes from God. Amen? Man didn't think this up. Man can't pull this off. Salvation is a gift. And so John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. Now you know you and I don't love the world. We love the things in the world. But God loves the world. He loved us, Romans 5:8. When we weren't even thinking about him, he already thought of us. You think about these kids out here running the streets and drugs have grabbed a hold of them and bad company has taken them down. God has already thought of them and loves them, for God so loved the world. And many times we put people in categories where, oh, they'll never be reached. But no, it's a common salvation for a common boy and girl. If you and I will present it, it still works. Amen. It's a common salvation. Comes straight from God, for God so loved the world that he gave. You and I need to give of our time. We need to give of our best. Our mouth, what a wonderful tool. You could use it for good or bad. All the joy of being able to open up your mouth and say a word that has meat to it. A word that has the power to go down to the hearts of boys and girls and moms and dads and sinners and let them know that there's a God that loves them. There's a salvation that's available to them, and it comes straight from heaven. And listen, it has not been voted out. It will never leave. It's a salvation that will last to the uttermost. Amen. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And you and I have the privilege to take a common salvation that comes from God and be a steward of this. And make sure we wield it into the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. How long has it been since you've taken an open Bible and shared the gospel? How long has it been since you've extended the love of God through you because of your sacrifice? For God so loved the world that he gave. Go back and look at Mount Gotham. Look at the sacrifice. Look at what sin did to our Savior and how he bled and how that God darkened the sky. Sin's ugly. Hollywood might dress it up and New York might say it's pretty. But listen, Jesus died for sin, and sin will take boys and girls and men and women to hell. And you and I need to tell the truth that sin is not pretty. Sin is always ugly. It always has caused a chaos. But thank God when grace comes in from a common God, a salvation that extends through people that's been reached through a common salvation, it still works upon the hearts of boys and girls. God's still using it. It's a salvation that comes from heaven, from the heart of God, and it still works. But God help you and I to get a hold of that. It's a common salvation. You go to John 3:16, and he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever..." I mean, man, when you go out soul winning, it's not like, well, I don't know if they need it. "All have sinned, come short." Everybody's in need of this common salvation. You go door knocking and ask them, "Hey, we're from Worth Baptist Church and doing a little survey. And by the way, I just want to ask you a few questions. If you'll give us a few minutes of time, where do you go to church at on Sunday, or do you go? If you die, do you believe that you would go to heaven? If so, why?" You'll be amazed what you hear. It's absolutely amazing. You knock on somebody's door and say, "Hey, we're from Worth Baptist Church, and I want to ask you a question. Do you want to die and go to hell and spend eternity there?" "No." "All right, wonderful. If you were to die right now, I'm assuming you think you're going to go to heaven." "Oh, yeah, absolutely. Can you tell me why God would let you into heaven?" You'll be amazed what comes out of their mouth. And it's not a common salvation. It's about them. It's about what I've done and what I'm yet to do. And God's a God of love. And I'm not near as bad as Billy down the street and Margaret across the valley. And listen, if they're going to make it, I'm going to make it. They have no clue about a common salvation that comes from heaven because God loves us. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I mean, what a verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth..." How can they believe unless they hear? What a responsibility the local church has to make sure this common salvation is presented with power and passion. You go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Would you do that, please? And look what Paul says in verse 10. If you're there, say amen. "For therefore we both labor, suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of" who? "All men, especially of those that believe." Paul says it's common salvation. It comes from God. And he says there in verse 10, "We both labor and suffer reproach." It's work to build a church. It's work to see folks saved. It's work to fill up a bus. It's work to split up a Sunday school class and say, "You know what, we've been stuck at 10 for 10 years. Won't you take 5 and I'll take 5. There's an empty room down the end of the complex. I'll fill it up and you fill it up." But no, too much work involved. May I remind you, a real salvation ought to result in the right works. We need contenders, workers, those that are saved from a common salvation but are willing to labor for the cause of this common salvation. Suffer reproach. "I would go and do it, but they would be mean to me." Absolutely, they're going to be mean to you. We are in enemy territory. We are pilgrims passing through. I'll never forget when I first pastored, I thought everybody's going to love me. That didn't last long. You got to understand, folks, if you spend much time in the Bible, Jesus wasn't loved. None of the disciples were well liked. Because we stand for something that's beyond man. It's supernatural. And man's got to humble himself. You can't get saved and say, "Me and God's going to walk into heaven together." No, you get saved by saying, "I'm a sinner, bankrupt, amen, dead in my trespasses and sins. If God don't come by and knock on my heart's door, I'm doomed." Salvation is humbling yourself. A common salvation teaches them it's labor. You suffer reproach. If you take your Bible, go to Romans 10, please, and we'll look at these verses quickly. But it's presented, I mean, there's nothing fancy. Thank God for television, radio, and internet, and all those things. Man, we live in a great age to get this common salvation in the ears of men and women, boys and girls. We got buses, we got cars, automobiles. We don't have to worry about harnessing up a horse. Man, we can start up a car and go 60 miles per hour to get to a house to pick up a boy. And we still complain. You don't have to go out in no messy field and try to call Butch in. All you got to do, some of you step outside and point your little thing, start it. Get it all warmed up for you. Am I right? We're spoiled rotten. But we don't have anybody that labors anymore. We just sit, soak, and sour and say, wonder why nothing's happening. It could be you're the problem. Where's that back door, brother? Just in case I need it. Now, if I'm telling you the truth, say amen. Ain't nobody wants to go out and labor. Ain't nobody wants to go knock doors. Either this thing's real or it's not. See, I mean, you got to get to the place where you either believe it, and the only way you can do that is spend time with Him and be intimate with God. God's got to put this in your heart. But you know, we just, oh, I went to church and we're wonderful, but how long has it been since church has really happened in you? And that's just the truth. Well, I carried my Bible, but the Bible needs to carry you. So it's just little things. God, help us not to just to be hearers. But man, we need some doers out there. And so He says here in verse 13 of Romans chapter 10, if you're there, say amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. I mean, isn't that wonderful? It's just presented by preaching. And we present it by just telling the truth that God loves you. Jesus died for you. I told you this morning, I brought the sweeper out and demonstrated it and dug dirt. Everybody thought their house was clean. And I'm just telling you, I've seen so many folks say by, you walk in, I don't really need that, appreciate your concern. Well, just give me a minute. I want to show you something. This is so crazy. Listen, not just you, but your whole family is wrapped up in this thing. And you just got to, I mean, folks, listen, it's either real or it's not. Until you and I get to the place where we believe this thing to the point that we're willing to suffer for it. Labor on behalf of it. Now here's what the devil's got us doing. We're all on the same team, most of us. We come in here and huddle up maybe twice a week, three times a week. We sing our song, which is great. We need all that. And then we just kind of look at one another and say, see you next week. One, two, three, break! And we all get in our big fancy cars and go home after we eat. And then we get up and we kind of turn on our hat a different way and we live Monday through Friday. And Saturday we cut grass, get everything ready and do whatever. And then Sunday we turn our hat back around. It's church time. And really, we're not doing anything. And the devil says, watch them. It's kind of funny. They go to church, throw in $100. And they go back and they live for the devil. And I don't say that mean. I'm just saying we're not witnessing. We're not abounding. We're not growing. We're not laboring. I mean, it's kind of like going out to a lake and getting your boat in there and having worms and your fishing pole and just holding it but never getting it in the water. You're just floating on the lake. You going to cast it in? Don't know. But you know, you can't catch a fish unless you what? And so, listen, I'm just telling you, it's too good not to wet the line. So that's what He's saying. It's a common salvation. It comes straight from God. It's got to be presented in a common method. It's just eyeball to eyeball. I've sold cars. You ever try to sell a car and not know anything about a car? Can't do it. That's why some of you can't tell anything about the Lord, because you really don't know anything about Him. Well, what's under the hood? Good guess. Let's try. Open it up. I don't know. I hope you like the collar. But no, listen. To be able to know your God and know that He can still salvage marriages. He can still take an old drunk and save him. Amen. His grace works until we get that down in our heart. We idle. We don't see much because we're not expecting much and we're not sowing for any. We just kind of lay back. And that's why all through the Bible, Paul says, awake, arouse out of that stupor. Do something for the glory of God. I fight it. You fight it. And that's what Judah is saying, is we have something so common, but yet the devil's stepped in and he's polluted it. He's muddied the water. And we've got to make sure that the ingredients are right, because it's a common salvation. It's the only thing that works. And we are called as stewards to make sure we present it in a fashion that God can use it for His honor and glory. If you take your Bible, please go to Genesis chapter 7. It's always been an invitation. You go back to Noah. Noah preached, and the invitation was to get on board. Genesis 7 verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house. Right there it is. Invitation. Go to Isaiah 1:18. That's why you invite folks to come. You know how many churches that don't even have invitations anymore? They don't even have an invitation. They sing a few songs, put on a big show, say thank you for coming, see y'all next week, and there's not even an invitation coming. But all through the Word of God, God's given man a chance to come. 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 Isaiah 1:18, if you're there, say amen. Come now, let us what? Reason together. Go to Isaiah 55, please. Look at verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat, come buy wine without milk, without money, without price. All the way through the Word of God, it's a common salvation offered in a common way, just simply inviting folks to come. You go to Revelation chapter 22, it's the same thing. The last few words of the Word of God in Revelation 22, verse 17. Are you there? The Spirit and the bride say what? Come. Where's the Spirit at today? It's functioning through us. Who's the bride? It's you and I. And all, listen, that's why we go soul winning. That's why we're inviting folks to help on buses. God says, that's just the way I've called you to do it. Whether you text message somebody, or whether you call them on a phone, whether you beep a horn on a bus, what are you saying? Come! Come and hear about the love of God, and Jesus died, and not when the enemy should perish. Come and hear that everlasting life is there waiting for you. Come and believe that God loves you. He died for you. What an invitation. Come! That's us, church. We should never quit asking people to come. And when they come on the premises of this place, they ought to feel the love of God. I mean, we're God's people. We are a supernatural bunch. We're not natural, we're spiritual. Motivated, prompted, and moved by the supernatural Spirit of God. The same Spirit that moved upon the face of the earth is the same Spirit that moved on you and I. Am I right? And yet, if you and I aren't right with God, it ain't happening. You know why? Because many of us live two lives. I got a nice diesel truck, dually. Got an 8,000-pound trailer full of tents and chairs and platforms and sound equipment and all that stuff. Boy, I'd start that diesel truck up and hook on and just go right on down the road. Mountains, they don't matter. I got a chip in this bad boy. Smoke will roar and beller out, and I'm just a trucking down the road. Well, one day, it wasn't trucking very good. And I come up to a mountain, and it wasn't getting it. And I was scared. I had 8,000 pounds saying, you're going to go this way. And I'm thinking, well, it's supposed to be going that way. Amen? And so I got scared, and I called my mechanic. He said, man, I don't know. He said, call the GM, you know, place where you bought it. And I called him. I said, man, I need to talk to a head mechanic. I said, I bought this truck, and it's Duramax, and I love it, and I'm doing a great job, but something ain't right. He said, well, tell me, what's it doing? I said, there's no power. It'll start, it'll run, but it won't go over 25 RPMs. I mean, it'll just stop right there around 22, 23. He said, oh, no problem. He said, you got bad gas. He said, it goes into a limp mode to protect all your main things in there, and it won't let you push that motor until you get all that cleaned out. And I said, whoo, fancy. So he said, well, get it over. And I took it over there, and the guy jumped up in there, and the only thing I saw was his feet hanging out. I said, man, you all right down there? And he said, oh, yeah, about got her. He took that thing off, put me a new one on, purged it, got all the air out, got the good gas back where it's supposed to be. Start that bad boy up. He said, now take it now. Oh, listen, was that sweet? See, even though you have everything where it needs to be, but if you got bad fuel, it just ain't going to run right. And you and I can be children of God, saved in the Spirit of God inside of us, but if you and I are living on bad food spiritually, we're not growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We're running on bad fuel. And even though we've got nice buildings, and even though we've got everything, it looks like we're in place, if we're not right, it'll never work. And it still looked like a dually, and it still had big tires, and it still looked mean and bad. But I would be embarrassed to put anybody in the cab of that truck and pull anything when it was in a limp mode. Could it be tonight you're just in a limp mode? God help us. That's why many times God's got to purge us. And it ain't pretty. Sometimes it's deep mechanical stuff. I watched a mechanic in a field with a brand new Maggie Ferguson tractor. An old man that was on that, nothing, just started and go. Well, he started and went, and something happened. I saw a mechanic get in there, start unloosing all those injectors. Keep pumping. Man, they had to start pumping that gas out there, and the battery went bad. Had to get another battery in there. I mean, it was a long 3-4 hour process. Finally, all those bubbles began to quit. I mean, he had things hanging everywhere. I mean, deep mechanical work just to get that thing to run. Oh, when that fuel hit those cylinders or whatever it hits in there to ignite, that old diesel fuel ignited, and that old smoke began to beller out of there, and that old tractor began to liven up a little bit. And all of a sudden, that big old motor on the back of it says, man, turn me on. Let's get something done. Why? It's made to run. You and I, our children of God, are made to do something supernatural. God didn't save you to live like a buzzard. He saved you to fly like an eagle. There's new attitudes. There's new things He wants you to do. But you've got to be in shape to get it done. That's all it is. It's a common salvation, but it's you and I that's in steward of it. We've got to stay pumped up and fired up. We've got to stay purged. We've got to get the air out of our system. And any bad gas has got to be gone. Amen. We need to run on rich fuel for the glory of God. He says here, it's offered in a common way. What's the need? Well, there's a common need, and it's all through the Word of God. Psalms 38:4. Look what he says here. Psalms 38:4. Everybody's a sinner. Everybody's in need of this. And sin is too heavy. Look what he says. David's writing here, for my iniquities are going over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. That's what sin does. How many people are so burdened down, so far in debt, trying to find happiness? And what's happened? Sin has burdened them down. America, Texas is full of people burdened down. Why? They don't know the common salvation. They don't have no idea what God can do for them. Why? Because the devil's got you and I so huddled up in here, we never bust out to the regions beyond. We just play a little game in four walls. We've got a whole bunch of people out there that's saying, man, I don't know what to do with this. I'm so burdened. I'm so heavy. I'm so loaded down. I don't know what to do. You know what? There's not enough hospitals being built to treat these type of people who are taking pills. They can't make pills fast enough to try to make people think they've taken a pill that'll be better. And everybody's popping pills. Am I right or wrong? In Revelation, that word is used in, I forget where it is, but that pharmaceutical word, it's just a trick of the devil, getting people living on substitutes. Hey, I'm glad I'm saved, and I don't have to live on any substitutes. Amen? I got the real thing. I don't have no doctor bills to pay him, and I don't have to try to find no medicine to feel happy. Thank God it's pumped inside of me. He lives there, and it's real. You've got him if you're saved, unless you need purged. Unless you're running on substitutes. Unless somewhere you got in some bad fuel. This common salvation supplies a common need. What is it? It's salvation. A deliverance from the wrath of God. I'm here. I'm saved. I've got heaven ahead of me. I'm going to reign with the Lord 1,000 years. I mean, I'm going to walk the street in that new city. I mean, I've got a great, I'm telling you, I got a future that's unbelievable. It's really hard to believe all that we're going to do that's ahead of us. I mean, I've read books and you read books. It's just glorious. Those of us that are saved, we got a big, unbelievable future. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Brand new body. I mean, what we're going to be doing for eternity, this body ain't made to do it. God said, there ain't no problem. I'm going to give you a brand new one. No more pains and aches. I'm going to fashion you just like my son, my glorious son, and a brand new resurrection body. You'll never find that in the Bible for the wicked. No, they're burning in hell. While you and I are worshiping and saying, hallelujah, glory to the King of Kings, glory to God. When we come back with the Lord in Revelation 19 and the whole world sees us as the bride of Christ, you don't see the wicked there. They're still burning in hell. When you and I are treading new territory, when you and I are seeing the new heavens, when you and I see judgment come down and renovation takes over 2 Peter 3, you and I are above all that. Why? We are children of God that's been changed to a common salvation. What a future. But right now he says, I need some laborers. I need some of those that will work for me in the field. It's going to be a hard work, but I'll meet every need you got. Won't always be easy. You're going to suffer some reproach for my cause. No servant's greater than their master. If I suffered, you're going to suffer. But one day it'll be worth it all. Now, if you don't keep that mentality, you'll fall out. Some of you guys have been in the army. What happens when you fall out? It ain't pretty. They get right in your face. You a soldier? Yes, sir. Well, why don't you act like a soldier? You get back in line. You're out of line. Where's your mind at? Soldier, and they just start browbeating you. You're going to walk or you're going to do it our way. But next thing you know, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Won't you say yes to God? Sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to get in our face. Don't you know who you are, man? I'm in you. I can't wait to develop in you. I want to inbound. God's put me here to help you function and to be supernatural. Hey, man, walk it, talk it, do something. Every time I get in the Word, that's what the Holy Spirit does. I'm telling him, Lord, search my heart. I'm evil. My flesh is corrupt. My flesh is working against me. My mind just wanders. God, if you don't help me, it ain't going to get done. And if I do it, it won't be done right. Amen? That's a common... Folks, what a privilege. You and I have a privilege to make sure that it's guarded and that we protect that. And that's why we have good, strong churches. That's why it's important that you make your role and get involved here, because you are part of this team to make sure we extend out with a common salvation and make sure that it's not muddy and make sure that it is protected. And you and I have a job to declare his glory among the heathens. Now, I've got 3 minutes to tell you my second point, but it's real simple. Go back to Jude. And there's some words here that talks about being a contender. The word contend means to be upward. It means to stand up for what you believe. It means to stand strong. So we need some contender, an upward Christian. If you notice there in verse 3 of Revelation chapter, verse 3, he says there, contend for the faith. That word contend means to stand up for it. There's Acts chapter 15. Just turn there real quick. Look what happened. Acts 15. Look at verse 1. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, that wasn't true. Amen? That wasn't true at all. So when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other them should go up to Jerusalem. Paul took a stand for the gospel. That's what a contender is. There's a lot of them out there, guys. I'm telling you, what's the big deal? Your kids could be polluted by it. Moms and dad, if you don't stay polished in the scriptures, you might be led over to it. It's going to be so strong that the Bible says, even in the days of the tribulation, thank God I won't be here. Amen. But the wicked one, the Antichrist, will be so strong in his demeanor, so strong in his vocabulary, so strong in towering over men with pride and education, that he'll have the definitions of words and peace and everything that man's liver, that man will fall at his feet. God says, if I didn't step in, even the elect. Folks, that's powerful. I didn't think I'd ever see that. But you know, there's people already worshiping our new president, calling him the anointed one. Ladies are giving the request that they might have children with this anointed one. Am I right? Has anybody else read this? Yes? I mean, I would never think that I would ever, oh, how is this going to happen? Folks, we're seeing it. That's why we need contenders that'll stand. Look there at verse 20. He says to grow. Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves, growth. Devote your body, your soul to service. You can look at the end of part of verse 20 where it says to be prayed up. There's no power without prayer. And I would encourage you, man, to stay in the Word of God. And I hope the Word of God will take you to your knees, that you'll have a real prayer life. Get a hold of God. We need to get a hold of God and say, God, please fill me with your Spirit. And God, give me power to serve you, because my flesh is weak. And I can't be effective, God, unless you do it through me. That's what he's saying, is God, help us to be prayed up. And then the verse 21 there in verse 8, and the beginning of that, he says to be kept up. You look at that word, it means to be, God, give me direction. I don't want to live in disobedience. No, God, listen, I don't want to fight you. I want to surrender. God, I don't want to be a hearer. I want to be a doer. That's the word. You can look it up. Kept up. Then in verse 22, stirred up. Listen, God help you and I. Faith will always stir you up. Faith is an action word. Faith cometh by hearing. When faith begins to build into you, I'm telling you, you will be stirred up. You think big things. Man, I'm telling you, Peter, when the Lord said, Peter, come on out, you couldn't have done that. I wouldn't have either. But Peter was stirred up enough to know that, you know what? This can happen. I've seen him in action. Man, next thing you know, Peter was treading on water. And then he thought, look what I've done. And the Lord said, well, you just messed up. It wasn't you, it was me. So the idea is, God, help us to be stirred up. And then he talks about looked up. The word look up means purity. And we've talked about that, but it's all through the Word of God. In verse 21, he talked about loved up. It's obedience. Verse 22, be compassionate. God, help me to be filled up. I close there. Here's the idea. You know what? I've never reached anybody until God's filled me up with a compassion that's beyond myself. It's God that had to move me. God, break my heart. God, help me to carry a burden for lost souls. God, you know who's around this area that I am involved with. God, help me to be sensitive to know who those people are that are near as hell. And God, those who are so close to being saved. God, use me as an instrument. God, fill me as a vessel. Pour me out somewhere, God. Fill me with something that you can use today. I watched that dear man today as we ate there come and just kept filling our glasses. That pitcher was a great instrument to me today. He just kept pouring. 5 minutes, he'd come back and fill her up again. And he'd come over and look. He said, I believe you need some more. Fill it up again. A pitcher. What good is a pitcher? Oh, it's a lot of good. A lot of goodies in that pitcher. And I was enjoying some good sweet tea. And every time I saw that picture, I said, hot diggity dog, there it is again. Well, you know what? I want to be a pitcher as I walk with God and study the Word of God and just try to keep my mind straight and make sure that I'm not on bad fuel and keep away from all the junk that's out there and keep it simple. God, I just want to be a vessel that you can use and work through for your honor and glory. And when you're done with me, just take me on home. Amen. But until that day, am I willing to suffer reproach? Am I willing to labor for my master? Knowing that it could cost something. I want to ask you tonight, church, we need some contenders. We need those that will get out of their comfort zone and say, you know what? There's more I can do. Maybe you're not walking with God. Folks, if we don't learn to walk by faith, we just ain't much good. And I've been there. It's so easy to get so busy and think, oh, tomorrow I'll catch up. No, we got to eat today spiritually. I don't know where you're at. Just here, listen to what God's saying to you. We need contenders. Worth Baptist, I know, needs contenders. Those that will stand for the faith. Those who will extend themselves through the doors of this church. Those who will jump on a bus, teach a class. Whatever it is, they need workers to make a difference. And maybe tonight you just want to come and say, Lord, I want to stay in the fight. Lord, I got hurt and stepped out, but I'm ready to get back in. Whatever it might be, oh, what a great night it would be if you'd sign back up and say, count me in. I want to be a fighter, and I want to contend. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you're here tonight and say, well, preacher, I'm not even saved. If I were to die right now, go straight to hell, God knows it, and I know it, and I don't want it to happen. Preacher, I need to be saved tonight. Jesus is knocking on my heart's door. Would you pray for me? Now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you lift your hands quickly? Say, preacher, I'm lost on my way to hell. Don't want to go there. I need to be saved. Please pray for me. Would you lift your hand quickly? Anybody like that? Just lift your hand. I'm lost, preacher. I need to be saved tonight. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? All right. Maybe you're here tonight. Say, preacher, God spoke to my heart. I know what I need to do. Pray for me. Can I see your hand quickly? Just lift it up. Say, I know I'm saved. God bless you. God bless you. God spoke to my heart. I want to be a contender. I want to do something for God. I want to soar with the eagles. I don't want to run on substitution. I want to do something for God. Preacher, I'm lifting my hand because I want to be a contender of the faith. And I want you to count me in. I want to see your hands all over. All over. All right? I want to ask you a very serious question. Preacher, I'm here tonight. There's things in my life that's hindering what God wants to do. I've been disobedient as a Christian. I'm practicing sin. I know it and God knows it. I'm operating on bad fuel. There's some things that I've allowed in my life that's hindering my performance. God knows it and I know it. God spoke to my heart tonight, and as a child of God, I need to get right with my Savior. I'm not right with Him right now, and I want to get right. And I need you to pray for me tonight, preacher. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you lift your hands quickly and say, preacher, please pray for me tonight. I need to get some things right. God bless you. Someone else quickly. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. All right, hands are all over. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you for your word. God, stir our hearts tonight. May your people respond and respond quickly. God, help us to be obedient. Help us to get things right. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.